Hi, everyone, and welcome to Words of Wellness, the podcast for anyone interested in the ways we think, talk, and write about wellness. Why do we use so many motifs like journeys, gardens, even battles when we talk about wellness? How do writers explain science and wellness concepts? How can we make sense of the wellness information overload we all face? These are the kinds of questions we explore. I'm Daniel Anderson, and we're coming to you from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Today, we have research reporting. Our guests are developing research essays on wellness topics, and we'll share some of their wisdom. Arnav Garg will discuss connecting with nature and spiritual wellness. Andy Pita will look at spiritual rights. Sydney Cummings will take us through perfectionism. Manny Williams will address letting go of the perceptions of others. And Meg Jenkins will discuss anxiety in college students. Let's get started.
Hi, everyone. My name is Arnav. I'm part of the Spiritual Wellness Group, and this is our group podcast today. Just to get us started, can we just go around, say our names, and give a little introduction about our book and how we thought our individual podcasts went?
Yeah, I'm Andy. My book was by Thomas Merton. It's the Pocket Thomas Merton. And my podcast topic was on spiritual rights.
I'm Sydney, and my little audio essay was about perfectionism and how writing and reading and just talking about it can be an outlet for some of those feelings.
My name is Manny, and my podcast was based on what I read in Brené Brown's book, The Gifts of Imperfection, and it was about letting go of others' perceptions of you.
My name is Meg, and my podcast was about anxiety in college students and how coming to college can help or increase your anxiety levels.
My name is Arnav. My book was Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. It was about connecting with nature and the philosophical way of developing spiritual wellness. Just to get the conversation going, I had some questions I planned out. How do you guys think that coming to college, as we end our first year, how have your spiritual wellness ideas and morals changed throughout your first year? Have there been specific events that were catalysts for change or anything like that?
I think, obviously, your first year in college is a lot of big changes. And I think, to answer your questions specifically for myself, no. But I think there can be certain events or stuff like that can fluctuate what your definition of spiritual wellness is. And I think it's important to have, if it suits you, a strong foundation, especially going into something that you know is new and new people and new interactions in a new environment and things like that.
Yeah, definitely. I would say similarly, there wasn't necessarily a huge awakening or anything of that sort, but definitely just aligning things in a way that I know what to do the next couple of years, how to find myself in a group of people that I can enjoy spending time with. But yeah, anyone else have anything to share in that regard?
I feel like I didn't have that many huge life changes before coming to college, but then coming here was really different for me because new country, just totally different people, and I'd been at my school for 14 years before coming here, so I think my life looked really different, and I never really knew that my life could look so different. And so just knowing that drastic change can happen and I'll still be me and everything will work out, even if things start out rocky and really uncomfortable.
Wait, where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
Toronto. Oh,
nice. I guess that kind of gives it away.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's really cool. Yeah, I think it's especially hard today's day and age since this beginning of the year. There's been a lot of changes across the country, and it's hard to find ways to find peace when a lot of things that we are have our morals surrounded around, when those things are being destructive. It's hard to have a strong sense of understanding and personality sometimes. But yeah. Are there other aspects of your well-being that have changed since coming to college or throughout your first year? Whether it's a physical wellness, mental wellness, or things that might have interacted with your spiritual wellness in a way?
I think one major thing for me is when you come to college, you're a lot more independent, I'd say, than you probably were back home. And so I feel like I learned a lot on how to solve more types of issues and how to deal with, because my research topic was about anxiety in college students. So I feel like I learned how to deal with that. And I learned a lot just from being on my own and living on my own and having to do all this stuff away from my family and my parents. So I feel like that was a eye-opening moment for a lot of people.
Yeah, definitely. I can resonate with that. Yeah, I'm sure everyone actually can resonate with that, not just me. But like, I feel like having like a sense of spiritual wellness has helped with that as well. Like, for example, in that book, they talk about dealing with the flow and like the water, how it's like, always going no matter what, to a certain extent. And it's very easy to like, you know, resonate with that, mimic the water and just keep on going no matter what comes up. It just went away.
Meg, I have a question. What made you choose your topic? Are you like a genuinely like anxious person?
Yeah, I am. And I realized that coming to college, like anxiety is something that runs in my family. And I never really like realized it was something that like I never really realized I was an anxious person until like I came to college. I was like, oh. And so then I wanted to do more research about it.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a path that I chose when I picked my topic. Mine's on perfectionism. And I feel like in high school, I was like, I did all these things and I had all these good grades and I like worked my butt off. But I feel like here it's different. And I like my like little high school self would cry if I got like a low A. And here I'm like, wow, like I got an A, which isn't even an A anymore. It's like an A minus. But like still, I just think it's different and your perception is different. And suddenly you're not like a big fish in a small pond. You're a small fish in a really big pond. And everyone is, I don't know, I've just learned to change my perception of like my academics.
Do you think that's been better for your overall well-being?
Yes. It's still something I'm working with. I don't know. I feel like it's hard to compare like my life a year ago to my life now because it's like completely different. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's great to hear. I think like another thing that's been really important coming to college is like finding meaning in what we're doing. Like a lot of the things that, well, I was in high school specifically, like it was very like objective and like materialistic things, but I've started realizing that like, there's so many different ways you can get to one thing, whether it's helping people or like making money. All these things can be done through different job paths. So it's really about finding meaning in what you're doing and like why you want to do that specific path, whether it's going into medicine, going into business, or any career field. UNC does a great job of opening students up to a wide variety of opportunities through classes, clubs, and work experiences. What have you guys like found like throughout your first year? Like, how have you developed the meaning in your work and like why you want to do certain things in a way?
For me, a big part of it was just like finding out what there is. Like you said, UNC has a lot of like opportunities, but it's really just like putting your nose on the grindstone and just figuring out for yourself all the things that like you could possibly do and deciding if any of them resonate with you.
Yeah. Experience is probably the best way to learn those things.
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
The question, yeah, it was like UNC has a lot of ways for us to put ourselves in different positions, and oftentimes our goals are materialistic, whether that's making a lot of money, creating a certain impact, or a lot of different things. But there's multiple different paths you can take to achieve that same goal. How did you find like meaning in what you're doing specifically if you have a decided career path or have an idea of where you're going to go?
I think everyone more or less has an idea, whether it's an idea, I want to be a nurse when I'm 5 years old, or it's like going into high school, taking a class. I don't want to be a nurse. It's this example, but or going into high school thinking that you have an idea of what you want to do, or you're in your first year here and you don't know what you want to do. But I think my point is that nothing's set in stone and like your path is never perfect and you can't plan out what you want to do, every aspect of it. And the reality of it is it's not like everything is, things are constantly changing. Things are constantly moving, whether it's for good or for worse. But I think UNC does a great job of accommodating all kinds of paths.
Totally. There you go.
I feel like giving yourself the freedom to change your mind about things. And even if you were like involved in something and tried it out for a year or 2 years and you're not fully feeling it, like you can stop and like knowing that those years weren't wasted. And the benefit of doing something isn't necessarily how long you're committed to it, but like how much it aligns to what you want to be doing and what you find like purpose in. So I think, yeah, just giving yourself the freedom to try new things and not stay in something just for the sake of staying in it and like being committed to something long term, because I think it's more important to try 10 things and before you find the thing that's like actually aligned with your like values.
Yeah, going off of that is, I feel like coming into college, I thought that you needed to pick your major and then know what you wanted to do with that, which that's just completely wrong. I've seen so many people switch their major from like completely opposite sides of the spectrum. And like, there are still people who don't know exactly what they want to do. And so I think it's nice because I feel like UNC is really accommodating to that. And they have so many different options and so many different like sources and people who are available to talk to you about a ton of different career paths. And just like Danny said, like having the freedom to change your mind is like really great.
Yeah,
definitely. I think like along with that, a lot of times like we just do things because we think that'll be helpful in the future. Like for example, I'll just join this club because I know it'll look good on my resume or whatever and to help in the future. But it's very important to do things in the moment that you really enjoy. And that's like all there is to it, because there's always gonna be a new future to look forward to no matter what step of the way you're in. Whether that's once you get an associate position in a company, okay, I'm gonna look forward to managing position, or once you're in med school, all right, now I'm gonna look forward to residency. So there's always like a next position to look forward to. But you have to realize like where you are right now sometimes is where you wanted to be a year ago. So you have to enjoy that and realize that you worked hard for where you are. Totally unrelated to what we were talking about earlier, but just something I was thinking about.
I feel like something that ties into spirituality is like taking that time out of your day to be introspective and practice gratitude, and also just reflect about what you're doing in your life and if it's like what you truly want. And I feel like there was this like person that my parents were friends with, and I was making a decision about something, and I like couldn't decide because there were so many like pros and cons and it seemed equal. And then she was like, just close your eyes and picture like a day in your life and which like role would you be like most happy doing? And then like suddenly the decision was so clear. And I think that if people just like, if you take the time to actually think about what would make you happiest rather than the objective pros and cons of each thing, I think it can make a lot of like hard decisions actually a lot easier and more clear.
Yeah, like my brother helped me out with that in a very similar case. He was imagine yourself in the same position and imagine like time and money didn't exist. Like, yeah, of course they exist, but like at the end of the day, like time is always going to pass and you can always accumulate money in many different roles, and just imagine what would you rather be doing in the day. So yeah, that was great insight.
Yeah, I just think on paper, some things can look really great or even look really conflicting. But I think exactly like when you put yourself in the actual reality of the situation, it's, yeah, it can be a lot different.
I think that the act of choosing or that deciding that something isn't for you is just as interesting as deciding that something is for you. Do you guys have any like personal experiences where you like thought you wanted to do something and then decided later, oh, maybe not, this doesn't like really align with what I want to do or my values? It can be something small. It doesn't have to be life changing.
Do you?
Honestly, not recently.
Recently?
I don't know. I guess probably my closest analogy is when I failed to decide that something wasn't for me. When I was in high school, I was part of an engineering academy, and I really didn't like it, but I stuck through it like all the way to the end. And I guess it was balancing the pros and cons, but like the literal pros and cons, where I thought that it wouldn't be a bad experience, and it really wasn't. I got a lot of like interesting experiences and experience. Just said experience like three times, sorry. But yeah, it reminds me of what Manny was saying, where I was too literal on the pros and cons and I wasn't thinking about like where I would be happiest.
I think I asked you about you to give, no offense, to give myself more time to think about your question. But for me, it was like my junior year of high school. So I was a soccer player most of my life. At a pretty decent level, I was going through the recruiting process. I got a couple offers from like smaller D1 schools, a couple D2 schools. My parents really wanted me to do it. I didn't. It wasn't where my heart was, and clearly I'm not there, I'm here. But that's to answer your question, yeah. It was difficult for me because a lot of my club teammates were playing and I felt not neglected, but like different, which I guess is good. I don't know, but
right.
It was a really hard decision, I think.
No, that's totally fair. But it seems like you did the complete opposite that I did, where you really thought about your happiness over like literal pros and cons. Would you say that was like a better way to decide?
It was happiness. It was money. I don't know. It was a better way to decide for sure.
Looking back, do you think that you made the right choice?
Yes. Yeah. It was my career. It was academics. It was the environment. I don't know. It was a good choice. It was just hard to make, I think.
I feel like also taking the pressure off of yourself. I think we all want to know that we're making the right choices all the time. And like, you want to be able to look back and know with 100% certainty that you did make the right choice. But I feel like you have to let go that you'll never know. And like, you just have to make a choice and stick with it. And maybe it isn't the 100% right choice, but there is no right choice. There's just the choice you make, and that's like really all that exists.
I think you do yourself a service in making a choice and just sticking with it. Whether like contemplating whether it was the right choice or not is only gonna kill, like it's gonna kill you in like the head. And I think just like taking one choice and just going with it is, whether for good or for worse, I think is better off and in general.
What was your decision making in coming to UNC from Toronto? I think that was
That's far.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's definitely something that I've always thought about throughout the year. Oh, should I have stayed in Canada with a lot of my friends? But I think it came down to just the fact that I was most excited about like what was offered at Carolina, and just having. I think when I envisioned going to school in Montreal with a lot of my friends, I just kind of knew exactly what everything was like, my life was going to look like. And because things had been so consistent, like my, like I was a competitive rower in high school, and it was really just regimented, like every day, 5 a.m. practice. And so my life was very consistent and scheduled. And I really liked the fact that when I thought about coming to school here, I had no idea what my life was going to look like. And so I just wanted to take that leap and go do something that I had no idea what was like gonna happen, and I'm glad I did. But I think definitely doubts like creep in, and you're like, oh, did I make the right choice? Should I have maybe stuck to something that was more predictable or safe?
Was Carolina like your only kind of not far in distance alone, but were you looking at other schools?
Yeah, other schools in the US. But I think when I visited here, I don't know, I just really saw myself here.
Yeah,
that's nothing to the magnitude of your guys' decisions, but I thought I was going to do BME at the end of my senior year, and then I joined like a lab over the summer, and I didn't really like it, so then I stopped.
You thought you were going to do what?
BME, like biomedical engineering.
Oh.
Then I joined a lab, I didn't like it, so I stopped. But like very straightforward. I just wanted to put it out there just to answer the question. But yeah, anything that you wanted to share in this regard?
I feel mine's actually kind of similar, like 2 years. I was playing softball, like I played travel softball for like long time, like years of my life, and I wanted to play in college, and then as I got older, I just decided I didn't want to anymore. It's not something that I like really wanted to spend that much of my time with anymore, and so I like decided to quit travel ball because it gets expensive, and then once you get up to a certain level, it's pretty much just every tournament like you're only really playing so the college coaches can see you, and it just got overwhelming with tournaments like every single weekend for 3 days long. And so I just decided not to. And like, it was, like you said, it was like sad. Like I missed my friends and stuff like that, but I had so much more free time. So it was like actually really rewarding also.
I think regardless of sports, even just things in general, when you're used to doing something for so many years of your life and tomorrow you're just like done. Like it's weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like, it's weird because you don't know that your last season is your last season.
I think like when I feel like it's really easy to tie your whole identity into your sport when you play competitively. And I think definitely for us three who did do that, I think it's hard to move on from that and know yourself without your sport when it was so much of your identity.
Yeah, 100%. And I feel like you're obviously, if you're not an athlete, I feel like your academics are a major part of your life. And I think it's a really important distinction in a balance to be able to separate your social life and your academics. Because I feel like if you don't, you're going to get wound up in your studies and not know who you are outside of the classroom.
Yeah. That brings up like oftentimes, like before coming to college, when I was talking to people, there's a triad of like your physical health, your social life, and like school. Oftentimes it's hard to balance all three. So only two are excelling or even one at a time. It's important to get all three up there. Speaking of like careers and what we want to do in the future, if you just want to share like what we think we want to do, or like what major and et cetera, I feel like we haven't even talked.
But. Yeah. I guess I'll start. I'm a chemistry major. I'm thinking about taking the polymer track. I'm very interested in going into academia and research.
Nice.
I'm an exercise and sports science major. I want to do PT grad school.
I'm a journalism major and also medical anthropology, but that second one's TBD, and I'm actually having just like a crisis about my majors because my poetry professor thinks I should do a creative writing minor, but I didn't. Yes, let's go. But I don't know. I love writing, and doing that is something that I really think I'd be happy in the future doing, but I think it is hard to commit to because I think I did sciences in high school because I was like, oh, that's like a steady, stable career path. And, but then I like my heart wasn't really in it. I was like, I don't really love doing this, but I think it is hard to commit to the thing that makes you the happiest if it's like something that maybe comes with more uncertainty.
Yeah. I'm also like in a crisis.
I'm one.
But it's like what I was talking about earlier, where like it's fine because a ton of people are always switching their major. But I'm thinking about double majoring in ad PR and maybe business. But then I'm also in a crisis because I don't really know if I want to do business anymore and I might switch it to psych. So I guess we'll see. But I don't know. That's like my path, I guess. My path is more like I don't know, like, I feel like I can go into something that's very, like, analytical or, like, whatever, but I also, when I look at what I want my career to look like, I want it to be, like, more busy and, like, fun and, like, creative and stuff like that instead of just, like, sitting at a desk all day.
Crunching the numbers.
Yeah. So it's, like, I know that not, there's so many things you can do with so many different majors, like, you're not guaranteed to sit at a desk, but it's, I don't know, that's, like, a fear of mine.
So there's like categorizations of what certain like majors look like later on in life. That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you want to be happy or do you want to sit at a desk?
Yeah. I feel like there's so many, we could all excel in so many different areas. And like we all, like you could do business, like I could do science, but I think it comes down to there are people like Joseph is super passionate about finance. And like I could do finance, but I think people who are most passionate, there's always going to be people who are super passionate about each subject, and I think that it's better to just do what you're passionate about, because then you'll be sitting next to Joseph and he'll be crunching the numbers and I'm going to not like my life and he will. You should leave it to people who are passionate about what they're doing and not do what you think you're supposed to do.
Everyone I know who went into a job that they weren't passionate about just for the money, they're not actually like really happy. Like it looks like they might be happy like material, like with the materials they have and stuff, but they're like not. So I don't want that to be.
Are they well off financially though?
Yeah,
that's right. That's
yeah.
The,
so then it's like, how could you not? Yeah, be like, look at your house, but
yeah, that kind of like resonates with what we were speaking about earlier in terms of like you can accumulate money in a lot of different fields, and so it's important to enjoy what you're doing on a day to day basis, because like, dude, like 8 hours a day is a lot. Like,
I know.
Yeah, I couldn't be miserable. That's exactly what happened, like, over the summer, like, during the BME things. Like, I was actually miserable for 8 hours. Like, getting out at 5 p.m. was the best part of my day. Mm-hmm. And so...
At least you're over it.
Yeah, exactly. And at least it's
like,
over.
That's similar with me, because my job right now, like, my part-time job, I work at a desk all day. And I hate it.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah, and it's only part-time, and I can barely stand it. So how am I supposed to do that for 8 hours a day?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I work in a call center.
Okay. Oh, so you literally just sit at a desk.
I literally sit at a desk and I answer a phone call.
It's easy money.
I saw a thing that was like, there's like a whole like 35% or something of the jobs that are going to exist in 2030 haven't even been invented yet. And like, apparently there was a bunch of people who like went into software engineering because they thought there was going to be a stable career path. And now the industry is super saturated and it's hard to get a job. So the person was just like, you need to do what you're passionate about because it's super unpredictable and you don't know what's going to be available. So like you might think you're entering something because it's stable and then it doesn't end up being like actually a job that has prospects. So you should just do what makes you happy.
Yeah. And there's really no easy career path. Like a lot of people like in early 2020 thought CS was like the easy path. And like now they're like absolutely cooked. Like
exactly.
I think it's great to realize like everything's gonna be hard. Like you just gotta do what you want to do, and that'll make it like less hard. But, yeah, a lot of jobs are bad right now. Everything is just sorry not to feel like a Dewey Downer, but like
it's true though.
You look at stuff. I guess my career, like I'm a bio major, I'm pre med. So yeah, that was just to answer the question as well. Anything like you guys have used from your books like recently? Like I know like. Your book was talking, it was like a list of like strategies. Have you been actively using them on a daily basis?
Not at all? That book particularly, but just journaling. Yeah. I feel like it's so stupid and it's like, how to get rid of your anxiety. You just Google it. All of them are going to be like, write down your feelings. And it's stupid, but like, it's, I feel like it's worth a try. Like I thought the first time I did it, I was like, this is stupid. Like, if someone reads this, like, I'm actually gonna.
But
it was good. And I feel like when we did the interview with Professor James Penbaker, the one on Zoom, and he talked about the sole purpose of writing is just for yourself. And it's like writing down those thoughts and feelings can be an outlet for stress and relieving anxiety. And I like did it. And I was like, you know what? I don't hate this. I thought I was going to. I like had a completely closed mindset about it, but I did it. And I don't know. I've been doing it for a month now. And I don't know. I kind of like it.
But yeah.
That's what I took away.
I think I don't do journaling or anything like that necessarily, but I feel like it would really help with headspace. Once you get those thoughts and ideas out of your mind, the rest of your day can be really relaxing and you can focus on the things.
Which I feel like is something we've heard for years now.
Yeah, yeah.
But how many of us actually do it?
Yeah.
What about you guys?
I think something I've been using is, I put a clip in my podcast about this, but Mel Robbins, who has her own podcast, has a let them theory of just, I think it's easy to worry about what other people are doing and thinking about you. But then if you just take a step back and they're like, wait, just let them, they can think that and it just doesn't actually affect you. And I think it's easy to be wound up in it. And, everyone has to like me and everyone has to think of me this way. But it's it really doesn't affect you and it doesn't have to. And I think you should just practice centering yourself and thinking about how you can live a life that is your own.
Yeah, I'd say for mine, it's more of you have to find peace within yourself before you can expect peace in your outer relationships and stuff like that. So I've just been making sure that with all my friendships and my relationship that I am peaceful within myself and I'm content in my own emotions. And I think that's really helpful.
That's great, yeah.
And I feel like that's also something that you've seen in every wellness book or stuff like that. So you need to be happy with yourself before, but reality is that's not.
Yeah, I think another important part is it's just really there's 8 billion people in the world. How many people are really going to care about on a day-to-day basis? Oh yeah, when I, for spring break, I went on a cruise and there was a bunch of European people and it was nice to talk to them because they're always they really, it's a different mentality. I feel like they just don't care. They're very more relaxed. I was sitting at a table. It was a booth and then it was two tables, right? A table for four. I was sitting on one corner and this guy just came and sat on the other corner. Normally that doesn't happen. When you're sitting down, nobody comes to that table. And it was just cool. He really just didn't care that I was sitting there. He was all right, it's open seat. I'll just sit. And these small gestures this just show. I actually ended up talking to him and we just talked for 20 minutes and it was cool. And so these small gestures just show, sometimes you just get broaden your mentality and realize it doesn't really matter that much to focus on yourself to an extent.
I just think our society and our culture is so prone on what other people think about it. And I feel that goes along with, what's the strategy called?
To let them.
Yeah, that. Yeah. And it's just constantly, if I do this, what are people going to think of me? If I don't do this, what are people going to think of me? And I think it goes off of European cultural norms, I would say. Because if there was 5 empty tables and I sat down at a table next to some random person, I'd be that was rude. Go sit somewhere else.
Yeah, right.
And it's clearly not that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think America is such a individual perspective. But yeah, we should take some notes from the Europeans. They don't have takeout coffee cups. You have to just sit in the cafe and drink your coffee.
Yeah.
And there you can do some introspection.
Slow down.
Yeah.
Is there anything you notice coming from Toronto in these senses? Obviously you said America is a very individual person.
It's very similar. Yeah, we have the same culture. Yeah. What I've noticed from being here is that people are oh yeah, we never think about Canada. We always think about America. Yeah, your culture is our culture, if that makes sense. Yeah, it's very similar.
So you got socially, you think about, wait, can you elaborate on that?
We all start talking about your politics and your pop culture and stuff.
Okay.
It's very, yeah. I don't really notice a difference between people from home and people here. I think the bigger difference is more being in the South, but just in general, I think America and Canada have very similar ways of life.
Gotcha.
Especially being from a city. Yeah.
Toronto.
Do you like the Toronto accent?
Do I?
Yeah.
Oh, I never heard that.
No, do you like the Toronto
accent? Oh, do I like it? They said I had it. That's more the suburb areas.
Oh, okay.
Because there's a bunch of immigrants from different countries and they've developed a patois of sorts and like a blend of different accents, but yeah, I don't really hear that.
Did you?
I'm curious
about that. Yeah. Anyone else have questions to talk about? Any like final statements before ending it off here? Just final notes to remember for our vast number of listeners.
Try journaling. It's not terrible, I promise.
I would like that.
I'll give it a shot.
You should.
Yeah, I'll just.
What's the worst that could happen? You hate it and just stop doing it. That's what most people do. Like,
do you like have a specific book for journaling? I was thinking of like, using like a notebook in my iPad.
If I had an iPad, I'd do that. But for me to do it, I had to go and buy this like cutesy like little journal, or else like I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Because writing a notebook, like, it feels like homework. I don't
It doesn't have like leather back and like thin paper.
It's pink and it's cute.
That's cool. Something else. Calling it a day. All right. Thanks for everyone for being here, and thanks for all the listeners.
That was such an enjoyable conversation. I like how the discussion brings together the transition to college and spiritual wellness. Thanks to Arnav, Andy, Sydney, Manny, and Meg. And thanks to our listeners. Stay tuned for another episode of Words of Wellness.